All right, everybody. We're switching things up a little bit on you this week. I'm going to have Pastor Karen come up and bring the word in just a moment. Before we do that, I want to give you a few announcements. I asked Karen to preach this morning because I was scheduled to work early this morning at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I knew I was going to be very tired today. So, yeah, I'm asking Karen to preach to you. A couple things that are in your worship guide. First of all, this communication card. If this is your first time here with us today, please fill this out and place it in the offering plate when it comes by. That'd be great. We just want to get a little information about you and let you know how much we appreciate you being here with us today. Couple of announcements that are in your worship guide. First of all, there's this card here. We are moving. After this week, we have two Sundays left here at Coronado, and we are moving out of here and moving to Dick's house. So there's a address and a map on here if you've never been up to the Moser's house, and it's going to be spectacular. I'm so looking forward to Dick's home being blessed by our presence, and I think that that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be a much more intimate family-type atmosphere. We're going to have some potlucks. We're going to have an intimate environment for worship and for reading God's Word, and I'm really looking forward to this move. It's going to be great. Coming up this week, first of all, tomorrow night is the women's coffee night out at Bash's right up here at 6:30, from 6:30 to 8. And if you want coffee, get there before 7, right? Because it closes at 7, the Starbucks there at Bash's. So you can join them there tomorrow night. Wednesday night is our weekly prayer and praise meeting at the Moser's house. You can see the map in your worship guide for directions if you've never been there. That's at 7. That's at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So look forward to that. And also this coming Saturday is the women's potluck breakfast. We're going to be they're going to be doing – I really am tired. They're going to be doing a Christmas craft. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, so I encourage you ladies to get on out there Saturday morning at 9:30 at the Urgent Care Meeting Room. There's more information in your worship guide on each of those happenings, and a lot more going on, too. We got Bible studies lots of opportunities for you to get plugged in and involved, and we encourage you to do that. All right? Now we're going to worship the Lord with His tithes and our offerings. So I'm going to say a word of prayer over the tithes. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for your provision for us. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Right now, Lord, we want to give a little bit back to you. We give you your tithes, Lord, the 10% that we know belongs to you. And our offerings, Lord, over and above the 10%, Lord, that we want to go towards your work, towards your kingdom. Lord, bless these tithes and offerings. Multiply them. Bless our church, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, ushers. I'm going to ask Karen to come forward and lead us.
Can you play that DVD like first? Okay. I have a DVD to show you. Today is the November 12th, you know. Today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And so there is a DVD. I got this from I'm drawing a blank. Voice of the Martyrs. Thank you. I know it is BOM, you know, B-O-M. I was like, okay. But I got this DVD and some material from it, because it is the day of prayer for the persecuted church. And this is an awesome testimony. And we're going to watch this DVD about this awesome testimony of a woman named Padina.
Thank you. و حتی مثلا از سن 4-5 سالگی شروع کردم نماز رو یاد گرفتن و مثلا قبل از اینکه وارد مدرسه بشم سوره های قرآن رو حفظ میکردم. دین هستن اینا خیلی شستشون مغزی ما رو میکردن و اگرم یه همچین چیزی میشنیدم خوشحال میشم، ولی همیشه به ما میگفتن حتی اگر یه مسیحی رو بکشیم وارد بهشت میشیم و برای همین بیشتر تلاش میکردم که قانونهای مذهب رو دقیق‌تر انجام بدم. فکر میکردم وضوع اشتباه گرفتم، دوباره هی میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم، شاید این مثلا برای یه نماز 10 بار تکرار میشد که من میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم و برمیگشتم. و مریضی روحی هم که گرفتم، افسرده وحشتناکم بودم، احساس کردم که هیچ وقت به خدا نرسیدم و مامانم تو حالت مرگ بود، خیلی هم وابسته بودم به مامانم و گفتم که من خودم رو میکشم اگه اجازه ندید تو خونه این کار بکنم بیرون از خونه بکشم.
تو جوانی، تو آینده داری مامان جان.
و گفتم باشه، اگر دوست داری با هم خودکشی کنیم.
My brothers and sisters, I'm with you tonight. The Lord has a special message for you tonight. If you're hopeless, if you're oppressed, if you're planning to commit suicide, the Lord says stop. He has a hope and a future for you. If you're planning to kill yourself, stop and call me.
و برای نیم ساعت با کشورما صحبت کرد. کاری که کردم انجام میدم و اگر تو بخوای پشیمون بشی من خودم تنها این کار میکنم. وقتی که رفتم توی اتاق دیدم مامانم داره دعای توبه رو میکنه و خیلی عصبانی شدم.
به من ندیام، نه
خواهش میکنم،
نمیخوام با شهر بزنم، بلانی نمیخوام، قطع کن بینم
چی داره خدا فرده اینا،
نمیخوام
نلش بازی نکن،
نمیخواد کن
خجالت
بکشم، هرمز مگه
کیه،
بلان کن کشیش هرمز کیه،
ولی شما
Hello.
When I talked to her, she was cold.
She
was fighting, and she told me very proudly, "I'm going to kill myself, and your Jesus cannot do anything for me." After about an hour of argument with her, and I couldn't change her mind.
عیسی من به تو ایمان میارم.
You said it yourself. Allah has done nothing for you. Give Jesus just one chance. You can always kill yourself next week.
وقتی که این فکر اومد توی سرم گفتم این بهترین راهه که یه بار دیگه تا آخرین لحظه مرگم به الله خدمت کنم.
She was thinking, okay, I prayed and next week this time Jesus had not done anything for me. I call live on the air and I tell everybody, look, I tried Jesus for a week and nothing has changed and I'm going to kill myself tonight and I would do it on the air.
و بعد از یک هفته که خودکشی میکنم حداقلش اینه که وقتی به حضور خدا میرم میگم آخرین کارم هم برای تو انجام دادم. فردا صبحش که از خواب بیدار شدم، ساعت نیمه شب بود که از خواب بیدار شدم، دیدم و دیدم که مامانم خیلی راحت داره تو خونه راه میره و دیگه اونطوری نیست که تعادل نداشته باشه یا دستشو جایی بگیره. گفتم ما باید سریع بریم بیمارستان و وقتی که جوابو سریع گرفتیم دکتر گفتش که فقط میتونم بگم یه معجزه شده، چون هیچ اثری از بیماری MS نیست.
چه جوری میشه؟ شما خودتون گفتین که اینشون ترمینال بودش میمون.
این فقط خانم یه معجزه است و به یه امام دعا کردی. شما کجا نشونده؟ خانم این شبیه یک معجزه است. این یک معجزه است.
ما اصلا به هیچ امامی دعا نکردیم. به عیسی مسیح دعا کردیم.
Jesus, you're always near.
for you, Jesus. Until my last breath, whatever the call, I'll serve you, Jesus, Jesus.
I don't know about you, but that touched my heart. We live in such a comfortable world, you know. I mean, our part of the world is usually pretty comfortable compared to what the rest of the world goes through persecution in the United States. And there are families that are standing up for right things that are facing persecution. But if you want to level, like a white lie is the sin compared to a big lie, I mean, the persecution we go through here in the United States is nothing compared to what usually is happening around the world, and not in every place. Hebrews 13:3 says, "Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." Ironically, today is World Kindness Day. So we wouldn't have to have the day of prayer for the persecuted church if everybody was following World Kindness Day. But unfortunately, as we know that those who, you know, the Word of God tells us that those who know my name and believe in my name will be hated by the world, just as Jesus was hated by the world. And so we see that with persecution. They're saying, I was reading in my Spirit-filled Bible, there's, you know how they have comments and in that Bible, it was saying that over 100,000 people are said to die a day around the world, giving their lives for the Lord God. And so I was just like, I mean, each year, sorry. And then many are either suffering or a day giving up their lives for the Lord, for what they believe in, for Jesus, for his name, for the gospel of truth. I mean, you saw some of those pictures. I mean, people in the underground church. And Padina and her mother are risking their lives now that they are Christians. Because remember, to them, to kill a Christian in their religion, they rejoice. And they get like extra credit to their Allah, their God. So they are seeking to harm. In that, right now, there is a warning out for the United States. You know, we need to take dreams carefully and stuff. And Dutch Sheets has had several dreams lately. And so he says this with caution, but he decided to go ahead and share it because he's had several dreams, but of another major attack on the United States, a terrorist attack. And he says, and I'm not going to share the details, but basically it's going to be worse than 9/11, what he is dreaming. But that is not a call to be in fear. It is a call to rise up in prayer and once again asking God to please have mercy upon our country for our sins and wickedness that we are doing still and have done. And then we just rise up to prayer and say, God, please let this not truly happen. And let this be instead a time of us grouping together in that power of prayer. You know, all Christians are considered the body of Christ. There are like Colossians 1:18, Romans 12:4 through 5, Romans 12 talks about a lot of Romans 12 talks about the unity of the body. Ephesians 4, the unity of the body. We've got, you know, we are all part of the body of Christ. So we're all part of His church. We're all family. And this is why God's calling us to be concerned about those, even not in our own country, but around the world. Because, I mean, in our own country too, they're being persecuted, but around the world. Matthew 5:10, listen to this, says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And that's a hard one. They are blessed, because you're thinking of how the horror, and this is somebody's loved ones and families that are being persecuted. But persecute means, in the Greek, it means like to pursue, to ensue, follow after, given to suffer. You see a couple of those same definitions in the Hebrew. But I like also the Hebrew adds, you're running after, usually with a hostile intent. Chase, put to flight. Well, the dictionary definition is to afflict or harass constantly so as to inquire or distress, oppress cruelly, to trouble or annoy constantly. Some of us in the United States have been persecuted in like workplaces, etc., schools, for being a Christian. But around the world, many of us haven't been beaten and maybe killed for it in the United States. So there is persecution that is major going on in the world, and we need to lift them up. You know, martyr, have you ever heard of the word martyr, right? And we all know martyr, the first martyr was Stephen. It wasn't one of the apostles. It was Stephen, who was a disciple, who was a man actually just kind of doing some everyday work, helping the apostles so they could pray and minister and preach the gospel. And then they were helping do like physical work, taking care of the orphans, the widows, you know, helping with everyday tasks. Well, he, though, was found preaching about God's precious word, and he wound up being the first martyr. Of him, though, blessed is he. He prayed basically kind of the same prayer Jesus did on the cross, basically saying, "Lord, forgive them. Don't hold this against them." Well, Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Stephen was basically almost saying the same words. Well, how could he do that? It was because he was strengthened by the Lord God. And it was an example. How was that used? It was used in a big way, spreading the gospel further. And then the one that was standing there, getting his clothes, and saying, "Okay, let murder him," was Saul, who became Paul. The Lord used that event in an awesome, mighty way to spread the gospel. And you hear that often, where people who are persecuted, killed, martyred, are used for God's glory and to spread His word throughout. Acts 5:41 says, "So they, John and Peter, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame, disgrace for His name." Well, that goes to the definition of martyr. Martyr, when I was reading in the book, martyr, when we hear the word martyr, most of us think of someone who dies for a cause, usually religious faith, but the word's true meaning goes much deeper. St. Augustine says, "The cause, not the suffering, makes a genuine martyr." The Greek word martyrs means one who remembers and testifies to the truth, an active witness. That is what John and Peter were. They were active witnesses for the Lord. And it's like, wow, this is cool. We were sent into prison. We were in prison for preaching the word of God. And then we're freed by an angel. And then we're out there preaching again. We were told not to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others and about His precious holy name. And then they're taken and they're beaten and they're saying, "Praise you, God. Yeah, this is awesome. You love us." I mean, we're honored to be able to seem worthy to be disgraced and beaten for your sake. Do we take that as Christians here in the United States? Are we willing to be to say, "Yeah, God, thank you. You know, that guy just really hurt me. That person just, you know, said something awful because I'm a Christian." Well, are we? Are we taking it as like an honor? Because that's what we should when we're persecuted in little ways that we are. But we should also be praying for those that are being persecuted in little and in big ways. Some even the cost of their lives. Luke chapter 6 verse 22 says, blessed, now this is the Amplified, so it's kind of lengthy, but I just had to do this one. Blessed, happy, with life, joy, and satisfaction, and God's favor and salvation, apart from your own outward condition, and to be envied, are you when people despise, hate you, and when they exclude and excommunicate you as disreputable, and revile you, and denounce you, and defame, and cast out, and spurn your name as evil, wicked, on the account of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. God's Word translation of Luke 6:22 says, blessed are you when people hate you, avoid you, insult you, and slander you, because you are committed to the Son of Man. That's what God wants us to be, is committed no matter what. But you know His mercy is there, right? When, like we see Peter, He goes, you're going to deny my name 3 times, Peter. You know, I know you love me. But Jesus says, but it's okay. I'm there for you, I know. But we need to pray that we will stand strong. And we will stand against persecution, even little persecution. We will stand strong, stand bold for the Lord Jesus. That is what we need to pray for, each and every one of us, but also for the church around the world that is actually sometimes even costing their lives. In the Voice of the Martyrs, I have a letter that I got from them, and it says, 10 years ago, we asked Sabina, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name correctly, Wormbrand, the wife of Voice of the Martyrs, founder Richard Wormbrand, to describe the purpose of our mission. Sabina, who suffered in Romanian prisons and labor camps because of her faith, replied with one word, fellowship. Most of us live in relative comfort, as I mentioned earlier. Why would we want to be involved in such fellowship of suffering? Philippians 3:10 says, actually I'm going to go through Philippians 3:7 through 10, and it says, but what things were gained to me when these I have counted lost for Christ? Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So this is the verse that was said in this letter, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. In Philippians 3:10, the Amplified, it says, for my determined purpose, that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which exerts over believers. And that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into likeness, even to His death in the hope. It's like, wow. So this fellowship that we are supposed to do is supposed to be sharing that with them. Counting it a joy because it is all for the Lord God. We're supposed to feel for them and fellowship in their suffering. You know how Christ says when somebody's down, you need to be down with them because you're feeling it with them. Not down, but you know what I mean? You're feeling it. You're sympathizing. You're doing your best to empathize with what they are going through. And that's what we're to do. Because in the power of prayer, we are helping to lift them up to be that bold Christian under that persecution. Because it happens. And, you know, if you've heard Franklin Graham say, he says, we are going to be persecuted. At the end times, we are going to be persecuted more. And in America, you're seeing it happening more and more and more. Well, she was saying that this fellowship shares the love of Christ, loving even those the world considers their enemies. A Pakistani Christian leader facing a terrible situation once told me, "We are not the victims. We are the victors." Amen. And see, when we suffer, is our suffering anything compared to what Jesus did? Fred, yesterday at the God Love Conference, you were sharing how you had heard about, and you guys were discussing at your men's Bible study, about what happened really to Jesus' body and how brutally beaten and how awful his crucifixion really was. I mean, David, actually, the Lord God is so almighty in knowing everything. David prophesied about crucifixion before crucifixion was even a thing about known about a type of death. But he prophesied that that was how horrible a death Christ did for each one of us. And remember, he didn't do it just for your sin. He did it for the whole world's sins, everybody's sins, from beginning to end, until everybody's sins, whether they receive it or not. He died for each and every one. Praise God, that are standing strong to help others to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, standing strong to take all persecution, seeing their wife or their husband beaten or their child killed because they are standing strong for the Lord Jesus. I remember hearing a story about a pastor and his wife in an underground church in China, and they were taken out by authorities. And the pastor's wife, all the people were told, you may be kind of gross by this, but all the people were told to urinate in a thing that an animal drinks out of. And all the people were forced to do that. And then they drowned them in the urination. But guess what happened? The people rose up and that church grew even stronger and more people came to know Jesus because they wanted to know who would die for this Christ. For this Christ that did that. And it helped this Christ that they were willing to give their lives for. And it helped the church to grow. I remember hearing from a pastor at Lakewood Church, and she has a mountaintop missions ministry, and her name is Renee Branson, and I heard on a teaching tape of hers that she was on a missions trip, and she was going to preach on something, trying to encourage these people, and the Lord said, "I want you to ask these people to rise up, and who's willing to give their life for me?" And she was going, "Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that, because they've just lost some loved ones from being martyred." But the Lord said, "Do it," and she did. Tons of people rose up, saying, "I will give my life for Jesus Christ if it will help spread the gospel and help others to be saved. Even I will give my life for one person if they will be saved, because they won't spend an eternity in hell." Because that's where there is. So many people think, "Oh, I'm good. I'm good. There's no hell." There is a hell, and it's horrible. But there's a heaven. And that is the future and the hope of each and every one of us through Jesus Christ, but it's only through Jesus Christ. And these people are willing to give their lives for Jesus. So what is the most important thing that each of us can do for the persecuted church? Pray. We can pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying, interceding in behalf for all the saints." This is part of the armor of God. God is asking us to wear each and every day. It is part of Christ. He cared for us. He prayed deeply for those that loved him before he went to be with the Father. And he intercedes every day on behalf of each one of us. And he wants us to intercede every day for each one of us to be that bold disciple, that bold apostle, that bold minister that shares the message of Jesus Christ and his truth. Acts 12:5 says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Do you remember that? Constant prayer was offered, and what happened to Peter? He was released. So there are many right now, today, that are in prison for their faith, and we need to pray that God will miraculously help them to be awesome witnesses for him in prison, but then to miraculously release them out of prison and to be able to continue on. There are stories of people. There's a story of a pastor in this, which I'm going to ask Paul to hand out. There's a story of a pastor in this who constantly has 13 times been thrown in prison for preaching about Jesus Christ. And it's like, wow, can you believe that? And he goes back and he still continues on. God gets him released. There's Paul, can you hand them out? There's a picture of a couple that have been released on the back page. And then there's three women and then one man, but that they have pictured here. But it's incredible to hear their stories and to see what the church is really going through. You know, I also am going to have Paul hand this out, Padina, and it's her story. And you can get a free DVD or a book, and you can share this with others, because we tend to be comfortable, you know, and we tend to, I mean, not that we shouldn't pray for our own things and be concerned and for our church and what's going on, but we tend to, sometimes it just skips our mind in a sense, not that we're on purpose, to be praying for others around the world. Remember that I have these two, and I have the updated, the missions Foursquare. Because we need to pray for our own missionaries in our own denominations trying to spread the gospel around the world. They often have many challenges against them to spread the gospel, and we need to continue to pray for them. Now, prayer, the power of prayer. See, we are a team. And that's what we got to remember. We're not alone. We are a team. And we've got to remember that there is power in prayer. So we got to think of, like, we're in football season right now. Think of yourself as a football player. And you're on the offense. And you're going, okay, Lord, here I am. I am in the field of life. So think of it as a football field. And you got the field of life that we're living in and playing on right now. And you've got positions. You got your opposition, your defense. But we're on the offense. And here we are. Here you are. We are the center. I'm John Madden right now. Think of me as John Madden. And here is a quarterback. This is Jesus. And we're going to take our prayer requests. I mean, this is the Holy Spirit, sorry. This is the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Remember, that's part of the armor. So here we go. The intercessory prayer power. We take and we snap our prayer to the Holy Spirit. And then it goes to Jesus. And it's a touchdown at the throne of God. God receives each and every one. So every time you're taking a prayer, and that we tried to paint this gold, but it didn't turn out too goldish. But in Revelations, it talks about our prayers are in plates of gold, and they are so precious to God, each and every one of the prayers. And so every time you think of yourself, you're on the offense, and you got a great team working with you, and you got the angels helping you, and you've got the power of prayer, and you're going to take down, and you're going to sit down or kneel down and hike that to the quarterback, the Holy Spirit. He is going to then take it to Jesus, the receiver, who will then take it to God, the throne of God. And there's a touchdown with your prayers. There is praise and rejoicing every time a person is saved. And these prayers that you are sending up for those that are giving their lives, persecution, martyrs for the lives of others to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, when that prayer reaches the throne of God, they're going, touchdown, because they care about somebody's life. They care about others to be saved. And then the angels, when they are saved, they're like, celebration, come on! Because they are so excited. They join in the praise of God when we have our prayers lifted up to the Lord God. But we need to be an offensive football team because we are victors. And so is each and every one of us who are believers in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we need to remember that we are victors for Him because He possessed the ultimate victory for each and every one of us and for those that we are trying to reach, those that are lost. So please continue to pray for the persecuted church. Please continue to pray for martyrs. And martyrs are not just those that are giving up their lives, but those that are witnessing for the power, the testimony of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that I'm forgiven for my sins and that I have Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that He helps me each and every day to go through the days that I have, the challenges that come. And then I'm thankful for my home that He's preparing for me in heaven. The bit of goodness we see here is just a bit of the awesome, glorious that we will see in heaven. So I just encourage you to pray for the persecuted church here and abroad.
Thank you, Karen. And I do I concur with Pastor Karen what she said at the beginning of her message when she said that we're comfortable here in America. Mm-hmm. We have this freedom that sometimes we take for granted. And the Bible tells us it's not going to last forever. You know, there's going to come a time when we're going to face that same kind of persecution. And I'm very afraid it's going to come sooner rather than later. So prepare. Be ready. It's coming. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You on behalf of the Christians in environments around the world where it's not okay to be a Christian. Lord, we pray for strength for those people, for courage, for boldness to speak Your name. Lord, I pray for protection. I pray that You would surround those people with Your angels. Protect them, Lord. But more than anything else, use them. Use them to spread Your kingdom. Use them to spread Your glory. Jesus, we love You so much. Thank You for the freedom that we have here in this country. But Lord, also, begin to prepare our hearts and our minds for the persecution that's coming here as well. We'll face it eventually. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.